Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celente, and it's Wednesday, March 19th, 2025. And we have with us a man that keeps peace and justice alive, someone who stands up for what used to be called the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, and now it's go screw yourself. I'm in charge, and I'll tell you what to do. We have with us Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, thank you for being here. And when I say about our rights being stolen from us and with hardly any outrage, you have an article coming out tomorrow, and it really clears it up and it makes it very simple of how it's being stolen from us. Perilous times for personal liberty. I'd like to read this because this, I remember, this is a famous piece. First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me.
That is a very famous line by a German pastor who resisted the Nazis and managed to survive. And I used it at the outset of my column, which you were kind and gracious enough just to reference, to tell the story of two people from the Middle East who were permanent American residents, one of whom was summarily shipped to Paris and then Lebanon, even though she is a kidney specialist and the country is short of kidney specialists, and even though an MD, and even though a federal judge had ordered that she not be deported, the government ignored the order. The other, and this one's very controversial here in the East Coast, as you know, a Columbia University student yanked out of his student housing in the presence of his wife, who's about to give birth, because of allegedly what he said on campus in April. Now, in the case of the doctor turned around at Logan Airport, she had just come from the funeral of Hassan Nasrallah, the murdered head of Hezbollah, where a million other people were there. The government filed no papers against her. It just turned her around and sent her back, even though a judge said, don't do it. And the government leaked that. It seized her mobile phone and found out she had been at the funeral. So we got a lot of issues here. Freedom of association, freedom of religion, freedom of travel, First Amendment. In the case of the young man, the government, the Columbia student, the government did file a document against him. Listen to this, Gerald. It did not accuse him of a crime. It did not accuse him of wrongdoing. It did not accuse him of aiding a cause that the United States State Department has characterized as a terrorist. It presented no evidence. It merely had the conclusion of Marco Rubio, who probably doesn't even know that this kid exists, that his presence on the Columbia University campus is an impediment to the effective execution of American foreign policy. So they shipped him to Louisiana, even though the Constitution says you have to be tried in the judicial district in which the government says whatever you did took place. So we have two very, very serious violations of fundamental liberty here. We have arrests and searches without warrants. We have a violation of speech, a violation of religion, a violation of travel. And the government just keeps doing it.
You keep writing that and you keep saying that the government keeps doing it. And you go, matter of fact, you know, this is what really, in the government's zealous enforcement of the nation's immigration laws, it has become lawless. Every person who works for the government has taken an oath of fidelity to the Constitution. It is obvious that the feds do not take their oath seriously. It is also obvious, you write, that the feds are breaking the laws we have hired them to enforce. This cannot go on unchecked. For whom will the government come next? Well, they'll probably come after us. But here's the deal, Judge. It's not the government. It's not these guys. It's the top. It's Trump. They're just doing what they're told.
It is Trump.
They're just doing what they're told. They're just public. You know, these are little nobody boys and girls. Their boss gives them orders and they carry them out.
Yes.
This is coming from the top.
Yes. And he doesn't care about the separation of powers. He doesn't care that judges have the final word on the meaning of the Constitution and the meaning of federal laws. And it's odd, Gerald, because he's got majorities in both houses of Congress. He can change a lot of things around with simple majority votes in the Congress. I realize they have the filibuster issue in the Senate, but they'll find a half dozen Democrats that agree with them. But he doesn't have the patience for that. So he believes that by an executive order, he can just change the law on its own. An example is this monstrosity, the Enemy Alien Act. This is part of the infamous Alien and Sedition Acts, about which I've written extensively.
Yeah.
Enacted in 1798. There are four laws. One of them is the one that criminalized speech. So the same generation, in some cases, the very same human beings that had just ratified in the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, enacted a statute that abridged the freedom of speech. Okay, Jefferson comes into office, and three of the four statutes are repealed. The one that still exists is this Enemy Alien Act. Trump says these people from Venezuela are the moral equivalent of an enemy, so I can deport them immediately. Now, everybody being deported is entitled to a hearing so that a judge is satisfied that the deportee is who the government says he is and did what the government says he did. It's not a jury trial, but it's a hearing before a theoretically neutral arbiter. The arbiters are not always neutral, but there's a record of what the government says, so you can appeal to a court that is neutral. The only way to kick somebody out of the country without a hearing is if they are the agent of an enemy, a country with which we are at war. Now, we are financing two wars, one in Gaza, one in Ukraine, but we are not at war with another country. Therefore, the Enemy Alien Act is inapplicable. What I just summarized is what this judge in Washington, D.C., James Boasberg, has ordered. And Trump wants him impeached.
Yeah.
And that provoked the Chief Justice to say, for 200 years, we don't impeach judges. Chief Justice is correct. I'm not so sure he should have entered the political fray, but he's correct. The last time a federal judge was impeached because of his rulings was 1804 and 1805. It doesn't happen anymore. In the modern era, the same rules that apply to the president apply to judges. Treason, bribery, other high crime or misdemeanor. You can't impeach somebody because you don't like their decision.
Yes, you can. I'm the president. I'm going to do what I want to do. Shut the hell up. All right. I'm in charge. I'm going to make up any law I want. I'm going to do anything I want. I'm the president.
Oh, and if you're Thomas Massie and you dare to vote against the president, he will primary you, even though every time they primary Thomas Massie, he wins by 90%.
Yep. And again, you right here, everybody, I want to make this really clear. You got to go to Judging Freedom. What the judge is putting out, the people that he has on there, you're not going to hear anywhere else. We are in a critical time in our lifetime. Nothing, you know, I'm not a kid, man. I've been around. Been with presidents, prime ministers, and princes. I'm not a rookie. What's going on now in the world with this dictator that we got in charge now, this Trump clown, is unprecedented in what, Judge, probably since Woodrow Wilson, maybe?
Yes, maybe even since Abraham Lincoln.
The way they're robbing us of our freedom, him doing any damn thing that he wants, and it's only going to get worse if we don't stop it. And Judge Napolitano has people on day after day, week after week, month after month, giving you information that you need to know. Go to judgingfreedom.com. And Judge, you're right here. Thomas Jefferson argued that in the long march of history, personal liberty shrinks and state power grows. He famously believed that only a revolution can bring about a proper reset.
He famously said there should be a revolution even if it involves the blood of patriots spilled on the tree of liberty once in every generation. At the time, a generation was 19 years. It's probably about 25 years now, but that was his point, that the government growth takes a radical cataclysm to stop that growth. We have had some cataclysms, but they all resulted in more government growth. If you read Bob Higgs's Leviathan, it's the classic analysis of how every time there's a war, a real one or a concocted one, government power grows and liberty shrinks.
How about the war on terror? Wasn't that great? Aren't you happy they steal our money and give it to a group called Homeland Security that never existed before? Remember when we used to get on an airplane and you didn't have to get felt up and go through? Remember those days before the war on terror? Remember you could go into any office building and you didn't have to show your identification?
I do remember those days, and of course, I long for them. You and I, and maybe a dozen or so others at the time, warned that these liberties that we're giving up will not be returned, and they have not been returned. The Patriot Act is still the law of the land. FBI agents can still seize your bank account, seize your medical records, seize the records that you have with a lawyer without a search warrant because of the Patriot Act.
All right, Mr. Orwell. You called it the Patriot Act? Orwell could not have come up with a better name than that.
Right.
How about the Robbing of Freedom Act?
Right.
Patriot Act. That shows you what scumbags are running this country. This shows you the evilness of these people that keep stealing our freedom and liberty from us. Oh, Salenti, calm down. Be a good little boy. You're still in kindergarten. Do what your teacher tells you to do.
Well, I think you should proclaim this from the rooftops rather than calm down, because the public needs to know.
Oh, I do.
Back to where we started. What happened to this doctor, who, by the way, was invited here because there's a shortage of kidney specialists in the United States. And she was made a professor at Brown University. She has a husband and children. What happened to this doctor? What happened to the student at Columbia? Could happen to anybody.
You got it.
The point of this article.
And you're seeing it with Trump, what he wants to do, get rid of the judge. Like you mentioned.
Right. Well, that's
and here's the
happen.
Very important thing.
Although the Republicans in the House, no surprise, have introduced a resolution to bring about his impeachment. It won't get to first base. Will it intimidate more timid judges? I don't think so. Federal judges have lifetime appointments. They all know the law. They all know this is nonsense. But it probably gives them and their families sleepless nights.
Yep, and they'll back down. They won't go as far as they should. And this is very important, you know, Judge. That we have to say the why this is all happening with these students and this doctor is because they're against the Israeli genocide. And all it's reported in this, in the mainstream media, the prostitutes, the media whores that get paid to put out by their corporate pimps and government whoremasters, is they call these people that are protesting this pro-Palestinian protesters. No, no. They're anti-war protesters. It's not about being pro-Palestinian.
Well, look at it this way. Even if they were pro-Palestinian protesters, A, their speech is protected. B, the two-state solution has been the public policy of the United States of America since 1948. How can you possibly be prosecuted or have your liberty taken away for supporting that?
Why, you anti-Semite.
There you go.
Why, you anti? And that's the other thing. Everybody get this in your head. Semites are for the Mesopotamia region. The clowns, the murderers that have been running Israel are all Eastern Europeans. Ashkenazi, Ashkenazi. Kabish.
See.
Ashkenazis. And what's Netanyahu's real name? Milikowski? Oh, Ben-Gurion Green? Oh, yeah, it's a made-up crap. It's nothing. Semites are from the Mesopotamia region. The Palestinians are Semites. This selling this anti-Semite crap is disgusting. Again, where is the outrage? Oh, God, Judge, Easter time's coming, right?
Right.
Where are all these Christian religions? How come they're not out there for peace?
I am not a fan of Pope Francis, but from his hospital bed, issued a statement for disarmament, condemning all war. A tepid step in the right direction, but tepid at least step. In the right direction. He could have done and could have been doing a lot more. Before he got sick, he could have flown to Gaza, or he could have flown to Ukraine and stood there. That's what John Paul II would have done. And stood there and said, stop.
Stop. Where is the outrage of the people? Don't. And this is the other thing, Judge. You know, this war is going to ramp up. Netanyahu is going to do everything he can to stay in office. You see what's going on. Everything. Right.
Well, McGregor, Colonel McGregor, who's on with me later today, is of the view that all we're doing is to please Netanyahu and his American domestic buddies, and that he has already talked Trump into a war on Iran.
Yep.
And according to McGregor, war on Iran could result in the destruction of the state of Israel.
Look, Judge, I've been writing about this for a long time. Iran has 91 million people. Israel has 7 million Jewish people. You don't have to be good at math to figure this out.
Right.
The Persians are very advanced scientifically, technologically, and militarily. This is a very advanced nation. They go to war against Israel and the United States, go to war against Iran. It's going to be the beginning of the end of life on Earth because Israel has what they call the Samson, as you well know, the Samson option. S-A-M-S-O-N. If they lose, they go nuclear. And they're going to lose. There's no way they're going to beat Iran. And the media keeps overplaying that how successful Israel was at bombing and taking out Iran. No, no, they didn't at all. And so this is very serious. And if we don't have peace on Earth, it's going to be hell on Earth.
Yes. Trump is not the right person at the right time. He's doing the right thing in Ukraine. He's taking baby steps. He could take one step and just stop the spigot of arms going. But his behavior in Gaza is arguably worse, if this is even imaginable, worse than Joe Biden's.
Yep. Oh, we gave him back the 2,000-pound bombs and the other stuff, right?
Right. 2,000-pound bombs serve no purpose but indiscriminate mass murder.
And where is the outrage of the people?
I don't know. There was outrage amongst the Democrats against Joe, taunting him as Genocide Joe. I don't hear any outrage against Trump. I guess he's still on his, honeymoon, so to speak. What is he, in his third month in office?
Have we never seen anything like this? Third month in office, and look at the volatility, whether it's in the market, the stock markets. You see gold prices spiking to highs that I would have never believed, and I'm very bullish on gold. You go back again, just to show you the change that happened. This is in the Trends Journal in this week in the economic update. You ready?
Yes.
What we did to make it perfectly and honestly clear, when Donald Trump won the race to the White House last November, the current events forming future trends were not bullish on gold and instead very positive on the equity market front. And then when we listed these, economic update, market overview, markets closed at record highs as Trump reelected, CNN. Stocks surged to record highs as Trump returns to presidency, Reuters. Why gold prices are now dropping on the heels of a Trump win, MarketWatch. On and on. This is when he won. That was in November. Now we're in March. Look how everything that I just read did a 180. The markets are down. Gold prices are way up. What happened? What did Trump change in a day? You don't know what this guy's going to do.
No, I don't think he understands economics 101, Gerald.
What he understands is power, and that's all he's interested in. Hey, Judge, by the way, he came out with the JFK files. What do you think about that?
There's no smoking gun there. They're not files. They're nicely neat, cataloged representations of what's there. There's no smoking gun. There's nothing there that the public doesn't already know. But I'm not an expert on it. There's 50,000 pages. A great libertarian expert is Jay Kornberger. He's the guy to talk to about this. The other great libertarian expert is Dr. Jerome Corsi, a friend of ours. I'm sure the two of them are going through the files as we speak, but there's no smoking gun.
No, huh? Do you think they released everything?
No. I know they didn't release everything because of a friend of mine who saw these files 5 years ago.
Okay. Judge, thank you for being on. Thank you so much for what you do. And remember, everybody, go to Judging Freedom. There's nothing like it any place, anywhere. And we're in a very critical time in our lives. And if we don't unite for peace, it's going to be hell on earth. And we got satanic people running the show. Oh, you like Netanyahu? Judge, yeah. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Gerald. All the best, my friend.